Thank you for tuning into another episode of She Laughs, a podcast dedicated to bringing you honest and transparent viewpoints in this daily faith journey. Now join with me as we listen to T and Crystal discuss the latest.
Hey everybody, and welcome back.
Welcome back, welcome back.
It's been a minute.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome.
Isn't that the one that Mace did? Didn't you do that? I don't remember. I'm old. I think that was a Mace song.
I realized I was old the other night when I was at some friend's house and they're younger than me. And they said, Vince so-and-so plays in this movie. And I said, oh yeah, Vince Vaughn. And they was like, no. And I said,
Vince who? What other Vince is there? Anyway, you guys, I'm sorry. Welcome back. This is the She Laughs podcast. I am your host, Tanisha.
And I am your other host, Crystal.
Yes, yes, yes. We're back. We took quite a bit of a break, but you know, life does what life does.
And listen, I want a restart of 2024. Can we do a reset?
No. We told you guys 2024 was gonna come in and gonna come in hard
like a wrecking ball,
and it was gonna tell 2023, hold my beer.
No Miley Cyrus.
And it started off with, I'm not even going to say with a bang, because a bang sounds, you know, like it was a celebration. No. It started off harsh, and it is continuing that way. So, like we said, like has been prophesied, like we already felt in our spirits, 2024 is going to be a hard year. Praise God. It will still be good because God is good all the time, right?
Yeah.
But, yeah. So that's that on that.
Because I don't know if anybody else feels like this, but February has always been a fast month for me, and it is going by so slow.
It really does feel like it's dragging. Like, normally by this time, it would be March. And this is a leap year?
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, January felt like it came and went.
Yes.
February feels like it's like, come on. I think it's just because it's a leap year.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So. I think it's the leap year thing. But anyway, how you been doing, Crystal?
Not going to lie. Like I said, this is a hard year. And sometimes you prophesy it, you know it's coming, and then it comes into your orbit. It hits your personal space and you're like, right. Lord, I know you said it was going to be a hard year. I know you forewarned me. I was not expecting this. So it's been tough. It's been tough because in the midst for me, what's going on in my life, it has been extreme highs and extreme lows happening simultaneously.
Right.
And so you almost feel bad for being happy in the midst of a really, really, really hard low.
Right.
And yet where I am right now with my walk in God, I know who he is. And I fully believe and trust in him. It's made the hard lows easy to deal with, and that's right. Not me even saying, oh, she's just saying that. No, like, it's really been easy. And I think for a minute there I felt ashamed about saying how easy it was to deal with, but I'm okay, and God be praised, I'm here another day. So that's where I'm at.
There's nothing wrong with admitting, there's nothing wrong with feeling like though the season that you're dealing with may be hard, at its core, you are okay.
Yeah.
You aren't crumbling or falling, to pieces. I think sometimes when we hear even the word difficult, we immediately assume that it can't be handled. No, hard things can always be handled. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? That doesn't make them any less hard. But they can be handled. And even when you're going through hardship, yeah, that's the importance of learning how to rest in Christ.
Yeah.
So that he can carry you through those hard seasons. Because my God, yeah, getting through those seasons without him, I don't know how some of y'all do it.
Yeah.
Bless your hearts. So it's I don't understand why we have to sugarcoat that we are okay even in a struggle season.
Yeah.
Cause we want to make other people feel comfortable, I guess. Right. Or not feel bad that they're struggling. But your struggle has nothing to do with me.
No.
So yeah, I'm glad that you are still at peace even throughout the hardship, because yes, you know God is sovereign, and you know not just because of what you read, you know off of experience,
right?
Right. Yes. That he's gonna carry you through yet another hard season, because as long as there's breath in your body,
come on,
there's gonna be hard seasons. So I can feel you on that. Me, also a hard season. I think I'm still grappling with transition.
Okay.
And the struggle behind it. And I think I finally relented and stopped fighting the difficulty of transition.
Okay.
It's just gonna be hard. And I think now that I have stopped trying to fight the this is so hard, I don't have so many overwhelming moments.
Okay.
If that's the best way to put it. Because again, it's hard. I accept it when it comes. I vent when it comes to those that I trust, and I tell myself we're done.
Yeah.
Because I can't constantly hash about it being hard, because now what I'm doing is I'm putting myself in a mindset where, and this is just me, when I constantly rehearse the difficulty of a season, I will want to try to take control. Now I'm trying to figure out how to not deal with the hardness anymore.
Right.
And I didn't put myself in this position. So, no, this is just going to be a struggled transition.
And
but God is still there. Even in the moments where I say, and I just kind of throw up my hands and say, I have to let this go, there's still a small bit of peace that comes over me. And the Holy Spirit's like, that's all I needed to do today in this moment.
Yeah.
That's all I really needed to do today. I know it's hard. That's all I needed you to do. And then I'm fine. But we are so human. We're so human. We want to stomp our feet and put our hands on our hips and pout our lips out. And it's just, bless our hearts. So yeah, I am grappling with transition. It will be a hard transition. I don't know if I'm going to have any relief anytime soon from it, but again, like I said about you, God has gotten me through harder.
Yes, Lord, he has.
Not to say this is easy, but he's gotten me through harder, so I have to recall to my mind and make my memory work for me in moments where I struggle a little bit. So,
yeah.
I get it. Because yeah. I tell people, hey, having a good day today. And I put the emphasis on today.
Days are good.
I ain't finna be super churchy. You know, I'm blessed. No. Today, I'm having a good day.
That's all I got for you.
And somebody laughed at me, was like, I like how you put that. Because I'm being honest. Today, I'm having a good day.
Lord.
I had a good day today.
Today was a good one.
And that's all we're going to focus on. We're not going to focus on that today was not a good day. We're going to focus on today is good.
Yes. I don't have to worry about yesterday because it's gone.
It's gone. And I don't have to worry about tomorrow because they ain't even showed up.
Yes.
Today. 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 Word says this day. This day. So this day is a good day.
Child. Child.
So, you got a quotable for us?
I do today. I thought I wasn't, but I actually do today. So let me go to it. Lord. All right, here it is. So my quotable for today says this: compassion is understanding why they did you like that. Healing is leaving them where they're at.
Repeat that one more time.
Compassion is understanding why they did you like that. Healing is leaving them where they are at. Yeah.
But what if people say I'm being mean by leaving them where they're at? Well, you must not have gotten over it.
That's a lie. And that's honestly, that stems from manipulation.
Yes.
Society wants to tell you, and I'm glad in this regard that society is changing somewhat, because the old thought pattern was, well, if you're healed, you should be able to handle it. You should be able to handle them. You should be able to handle what they did to you. And I have to prove to you that I can take the punches and still stand there in front of you.
Right.
And now what we're realizing, and thought patterns are changing and mindsets changing, of my healing doesn't mean that I have to continue to stand here and deal with everything that you're doing or how you're acting simply because I understand the why. My understanding the why doesn't mean that I have to stay standing put or stay put. I can understand why and then make a better decision for myself, my sanity, my own healing, right, and what is a good thing for my life, irregardless of who you are or anything. And that doesn't mean that I have to make you out to be a bad person.
Right.
I think that's also where we still are really having to learn as a society, that me walking away or saying, hey, I'm going to leave you right here, isn't me saying that you're bad. It's saying, hey, I understand where you are. There's that compassion. I understand it. And this is not for me.
Me. Yes. Yes, that is so good.
It's not for me. It doesn't make you bad. It doesn't make you wrong. It doesn't make your decisions wrong. But we either view things differently or we have a different outlook on how this should go. And so I'm going to go somewhere else where I know I can fulfill my highest self.
Right.
That I desire for me. And I think that's the difference, because so many people, I think these words that we have used have become so convoluted, and people have assigned meaning to them throughout the years manipulatively, that now people just think, no, this is what it means. And it's like, no, like, start looking up the words.
Right. Yes.
Take back the power of meaning of words back. Okay. Right. And not just what you think it should mean or what you were taught that it should mean, because you might have been taught wrong.
Well, what do you have to say to those who feel that if I have compassion for the person that did me wrong, I'm excusing the behavior?
That's not an excuse. And I get it. Because that was what I thought at one point. I went through stages where I thought compassion and staying put meant that I was a good person, and my healing meant, well, I have healed, so I should be able to handle it.
I should be able to handle them. Well, right. That's not it and everything. My healing means, hey, these are my triggers, and I can now take myself out from around you because I know that you're going to trigger me. So right. My healed self knows I am not a tree. I don't have to stay planted where I'm at. I can move out of the way. If you see somebody throwing balls at you, I mean, we can go back to childhood and playing kickball. If the ball's coming at your head, what do? You duck.
Duck.
So move out the way. Hey, this is a trigger. You know it's a trigger. Duck. Okay? Stop standing there and allowing it to hit you in the face. That's one thing. However, I understand why you're hitting me in the face. Maybe you had trauma. Maybe you had were raised a certain way. Da 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 da. I can have compassion for that. I can say, hey, I see all of the things that led up to this.
Right.
And I understand you. So I don't have to demonize who you are.
Right.
But if you're not willing to change, then my healing dictates that I have to move out the way. That's it. But I don't have to demonize you for that.
I don't have to demonize you. You don't have to be a bad person, evil person. You cannot be good for me and also be good for others at the same time. I think we are such a, as much as we want to act like we're a shade of gray people, We are not. We are very much so black and white. Even some of the most open-minded, yeah, man, go with the flow person is still black.
Black and white.
And white. And that is a both and situation. They wronged you, yes. They don't wrong everyone else.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Sometimes you aren't next on the list, like I say. Sometimes their pattern that I always say pay attention to is not necessarily indicative of they're going to do this to everybody. Sometimes they only do this to a particular person.
Yes.
Right?
That triggers them.
Yes. So the question is, are you the person that they may do this to? Everything can't be so black and white. That is the importance of, like, we're already dipping into our conversation.
Yes.
That is the importance of having a relationship with Holy Spirit so that you can have discernment to say, this is why they did that. Yeah. And if you pay attention to their patterns, they do this to everyone. Or if you pay attention to their patterns, this is why they did this to you.
Yes.
And this is why they may have done this to someone else and not someone else.
Yes.
Either way, right?
Yes.
It's pay attention and pray for increased discernment.
That's why I tell folks all the time, relationships, I don't care what relationship it is. It can be parent to a child. It could be sibling to sibling. It could be significant others. It could be friend to friend. But that person can have 50 different personalities of themselves because of the relationship that they have with another individual. So the relationship I have with Tanisha may not have this same relationship with someone else. So the way I view her can be completely different.
Right.
Versus the way somebody else interacts with you.
Like, and that's because I will show up different.
Yes.
Right. The way I joke with you may not be the way I can joke with someone else. I love you both equally. Right?
But
I care for you both equally. But my personality may differ or shift depending on who you are to me, right?
Yes.
How you are with me, my experience with you.
Yes.
And maybe also, these people that always holler, I'm the same with everyone. You're a liar.
No, you're not.
No, you're not. Or you're so blinded right?
Yeah.
And I don't want to say narcissistic, but you're so selfish that you don't take into account the different people and personalities that you're around.
Yes.
You expect everyone to act the same way all the time. They don't.
No.
How you speak to your siblings and relate to your siblings is going to be different with how you speak to your parents.
Yes.
And how you relate to your parents. And it's going to be different from how you speak to your grandparents. And how you really, it's going to be different. That's how it is.
Yes, because each person has their own journey through life. And it's so unique. I have 8 siblings. We all have a different outlook on life because we were all raised very differently. So how can you parent that? If you, that's why some parents, I'll be like, oh, I parent all my children the same. You can't.
You can't. And the fact that you're trying to, you're setting yourself up for failure. You can't. Some children need more attention than others. That doesn't mean you neglect the one that doesn't need as much attention. That means, sorry to say this, you're going to have to spend more time figuring out how to still care for that child that you see doesn't need all your attention.
Yes.
You cannot be lazy. It requires work.
That's it.
To figure it out. So no, you're never going to parent each child the same way. What works with one kid may not work with the other. So it's going to take effort on your part. That's how all relationships are. That's a part of relationships that people don't get. That's the effort. How I treated you should be different from how I treated the last girl. Yes. Lord, that's a whole other topic. As us females, I want to be treated differently. Do you? But y'all, we'll go down a whole rabbit hole. That. So basically, the point is, please, for your own self, understand why they treated you the way they did. Because Holy Spirit is amazing. He will reveal to you why.
Yep.
For your benefit and for your benefit alone, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then be willing to heal from it and figure out where do you go from here.
Yeah.
But you need that compassion. That compassion is necessary.
Necessary.
You're not excusing the behavior. You're not excusing them, especially if they're unrepentant. Right?
Yeah.
About what they did. The need for the compassion is for your own soul's sake, so that you do not become hardened, so that you do not become an angry person, so that you aren't a bitter person, so that you don't project on others what has happened to you. Now you're going from relationship to relationship to relationship, hating men,
listen,
bashing men, talking down to men, being disrespectful of men because of what happened to you in the past.
And you men too, being the same way to women.
Yes.
Don't think just because she said men, she was like, oh, no.
Men do it as well.
And
so that is the point of having compassion, so that you can understand why it happened to you.
Yes.
And you don't end up carrying that because you're going to end up bleeding all over the place and don't mean to. You will bleed everywhere you go.
Everywhere.
Trails of blood everywhere. And have no idea and think, that doesn't affect me. You're a lie. You're blind.
We can see it.
We can see it in your connection with people, and your connections with work, and your connections with your family. We can see it.
We see it. Plain as day.
So please learn some compassion to understand why it happened to you.
And go on.
And go forth.
What quote?
Go forth and prosper. So... Crystal, what are we discussing?
Well, did you have a quotable?
I did not have a quotable, y'all. I'm sorry. I'm slipping on my job. I don't have one today.
No problem. So,
What are we discussing today?
You know, lately we have not been doing topics. That's not our thing. But we both talked about this, and I was like, man, we need to talk about this on the show about the football, Super Bowl football ads.
Yeah.
And the uproar that has been caused in the Christian community by these ads. And I'm saying ads because y'all are only focusing on one.
Yeah, I think this one has everybody's panties in a bunch.
A whole bunch. And I'm like, I'm not concerned about this one as much as y'all are. I'm more so looking at the other one that is blatantly mocking. This would not be any type of mocking. But what has me concerned is the level of offense that Christians have had to this ad. That has me bothered. Now, people are taking so many different views. You could take views all day. And if you don't know, the ad we're talking about is the one about He gets us. Jesus gets us. Okay. And it's the foot washing ad where we see people washing other people's feet. So you see a police officer washing a black man's feet. You see a conservative pro-life white woman washing a pro-choice woman's feet in front of a Planned Parenthood and, and a pastor washing a black gay man's feet. Right. And people are in uproar. And I was like, Lord, at this point, I just believe if you was to come today, it would be no different than in the days when you were here and the Pharisees. We would crucify you and say you are a blasphemer.
All they did was wash feet. They didn't say, I absolve you of your sin. They didn't say...
Yes, none of that.
Your lifestyle or what you're doing or your viewpoints are okay with me and I agree. They was simply
washing the feet. And
that tells me how much either you all do not read your Bible, because that is a biblical act for the person that made the Twitter post saying it wasn't. You're a liar.
Right.
That shows me either how much you do not read your Bible or how desperately you need a relationship with Holy Spirit to interpret.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I was like, Lord, and we're going to get into it a little bit. I was like, y'all are so offended at the face value.
Just the face value alone.
And that's what I really wanted to deal with. Because we can go deeper with the company and who all's behind
and
it.
Their movement and what they've... We could. We're not going to go there. And this is not us being in agreement with the movement
of the people,
or the views of the all he sees us, because that's what it's called. HeSeesUs.com. This is not us saying, yeah, we agree.
No.
We're talking about just the ad of people washing each other's feet.
Now, what I will say about that with the movement, Tia and I told y'all last year that you're going to have to be very discerning. This is a prime example of that. Because the message that they legit that they posted is actually true. We should be doing this. I should be going and be willing to serve and wash sinners' feet. Why? Because I'm a sinner myself.
All the symbolism, sorry, Lord, the symbolism behind foot washing is servanthood.
That's it. I said, I could see if folks who weren't Christian got offended. I wouldn't be shocked. It's like, but why are y'all as Christians offended that you're sitting here showing that y'all washing people's feet? And the main complaint that we got was, well, you're just saying that they don't have to be accountable. Who said that?
it ain't about a right or a wrong. It's washing feet. Here's the thing. And that, did Jesus wash Peter and Judas's feet?
He sure did. He sure did.
Did Jesus wash Timothy's feet? These are three people that had an ought with Jesus. One of them got him killed.
Yeah.
And he knew all of this before he even washed their feet.
Yes.
And explained to them all the importance of why he had to do it.
Yep.
I mean, the person that Jesus said only realized who he was because of the revelation from Holy Spirit. Again, we're going to delve into that much more in a minute. Denied Christ three times.
Three times.
Said, I do not know that man. Don't speak my name in that man's name in the same sentence. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Yet he still washed. So it's not about I'm right, you're wrong.
No.
And that's all y'all saw.
That's all they saw.
Well, you're excusing it. No, how are they excusing that? I don't. Where did you see that in that ad that they were excusing anything
in that ad?
Or was they making a political statement again? Where did you see that ad?
Where did you see that? And this is where y'all took and added to. And that's my issue a lot of times with Christians. You don't look and take things and say, okay, this is what it is. It's foot washing. You take and you add it to, well, it's not holding them accountable. It just said, who said that anywhere?
We ain't got to that part yet. You're moving too fast.
Oh, my bad.
No, I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about them.
Like
you want to hold them accountable. We haven't gotten there yet. We're just washing feet.
we're just showing them that they loved.
That, we're just showing servanthood and humility. That's it. The foot washer and the person that's getting their feet washed. That's it. We haven't started delving into anything deep yet.
And you wonder why some of y'all ain't saving souls. Because you want to go deep. Oh, you need to be held accountable first. Whoa. Can they even come to the realization and fullness of the knowledge of who they are first?
Can they encounter Jesus first before they get changed? Can they meet him first?
You know what y'all sounding out? Y'all really sounding like the prodigal son's brother. He gets to come back. But I've been doing this and I've been doing that. And that's what you sound like when you say, but they need to be held accountable. Did he hold you accountable?
Here's the thing. He may have held them accountable. The thing is, your accountability may have not been public.
Jesus, come on.
Oh, you want theirs to be public, where God dealt with you in private about your anger, yeah, about your jealousy, about your rage, about your narcissism, about how prideful you are. See, you got to deal with yours in private.
But that's not given to anybody else.
Or the fact that your sin ain't a public sin.
Yeah.
That too. See, we won't know what your issue is until we really get to know you.
Yes. Yes.
But you want everybody else to be public.
And I just felt like, I was like, it sounds too much. Y'all say y'all are Christians, but it sounds too much like hate.
You might as well say what it is. It's hate. Just say you hate them. Just
please,
say it.
Please just say it.
And the reason why I say that, not because it's good. If you go ahead and get it out front, God can deal with it.
Yes.
But the more you try to cover it up, with all this fluff, he cannot attack it the way it needs to be and attacked and addressed.
You just keep sprinkling Jesus on top of it.
He ain't a garnish. Let's deal with it up front. Say what you mean. Get it off your chest. And then it can be addressed.
But we're not doing that.
You're not doing that. You are hindering. So we're going to go ahead and get into it. You're hindering the job of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And I think some of you, and this is not to your fault, this is the church's fault. You do not understand the purpose and the role Holy Spirit has. Mm. Again, it is not your fault. This is the church's fault.
We haven't done a good job.
We have not done a good job of really driving home and instructing and teaching the role and the importance of having a relationship with Holy Spirit. We treat it like it's a ghost.
Yes.
Like it's a thing you can take off. It's just a feeling. No.
No.
He is so much more than that. So I'm going to tell you all the five roles the Holy Spirit has. It could very well be more. But just from my own research, there are five, right?
Yes.
So the first one is he does a work in the heart of the believer. That's first.
That's internal, y'all. That's private.
Thank you. That's what I said. Some of you want everybody else's work to be public. Why? So that you can feel good about how bad you felt when God was firing your tail in private.
No, you know what? I'm going to also say this. Some of y'all want it to be public so that way you can. Yes, Lord, I know. Because you trust your eyes rather more so than you trust the Holy Spirit that's in you.
Then again, you're dealing with your own belief system. Then.
That's your own beliefs.
You have a shaky belief system if you need to see change with your eyes.
There have been people that God has been like, hey, I'm bringing this person into your vicinity. They don't think that they're one of mine, but they're one of mine. And this person would publicly just be like, hey, I do this, I do that, I do that. And God is like, yeah, but that's my child. They just don't know it yet.
But then when you start talking to them.
Yes.
And you start seeing their mindset unravel as they speak, you go, oh, you are. You just think that you're not because the world has told you
that you aren't.
That you aren't because you don't look like A, B, and C.
Yes.
So again, the first one, the Holy Spirit does a work in the believer's heart. So we got scripture for that. John 16:8. And when he comes, he will convict the world of its sin and of God's righteousness and of the coming judgment. Mm. Got Bible for it. The second purpose and role is he's a revealer of truth.
Jesus, come on today. Teach
we can understand and interpret God's word. And also, the revealer of who Christ is. Again, got scripture, John 16:13. It says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but he will tell you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. He's a revealer.
Hmm.
He's not no flimsy ghost spirit.
No.
Make you feel good. No, he's a revealer. Number three, and this is the one I love, he's a counselor.
Come on.
So the Greek word for counselor is one who is called alongside. He takes permanent residence in you to encourage you and to exhort you.
Yes.
A counselor. So scripture for that is Romans 8:8-9. And it says, and those who are in the flesh living a life that caters to sinful appetites and impulses cannot please God. However, you are not living in the flesh, controlled by your sinful nature, but in the Spirit. If, in fact, the Spirit of God lives in you, directing and guiding you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him and is not a child of God. He resides in you.
Yeah.
It's just not the fluttery gut feeling that we've reduced him down to.
I promise you.
Okay. Don't, please don't reduce him down. Well, you know, my gut feel. No. Please stop reducing him down to that. So number four, he is a giver of gifts. Those gifts are spiritual gifts. And again, those gifts come without repentance.
Mm-hmm.
These are gifts he gives you. Now, I'm not reading this whole thing, but you need to go and look it up. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 12. The entire chapter speaks about the gifts of the Spirit. So he's a giver of gifts. And lastly, he is a producer of fruit.
Let's
the fruit I'm talking about is a fruit of the Spirit.
Yes.
Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23 tells you what the fruit of the Spirit are. None of these are things that you can do on your own. The flesh is incapable of producing these fruit.
So
only Holy Spirit can give you this fruit. So those of you who are trying to seek peace and joy outside of Jesus Christ, you cannot.
You can't.
It is counterfeit. You need him and you need Holy Spirit to experience peace and joy.
That's it.
So please stop making it seem like Holy Spirit's not important. He is.
He is.
If Jesus can say, one that is greater than me, come on. y'all don't really be in your word.
You don't be in your Bibles.
Please stop reducing him down to this gut feeling. Learn to have a relationship with him. Because he will reveal, he will comfort, and he will correct.
Yes.
So for you all to look at that ad and say, well, there's no change. An encounter has to happen first.
Yeah.
Then correction and change will come.
Yes.
But to want it instantaneously just logically makes no freaking sense.
No.
Number two, it didn't happen that way for you. And if you say it is, you are a bald-faced liar.
I promise you, you are.
Because some of you, there are things that God wants you to change, even still right now. And you've known Jesus majority of your life.
Yes.
And there are still things that you are struggling with letting go of and not doing. Does he hold you in condemnation for it?
No.
Because he's so gracious and he's so patient. He's willing to work with you. But for you to immediately require change?
Yeah.
Without an encounter?
Yep.
As long as we're wrapped in his flesh, that's not going to happen.
No.
You have to have an encounter. You have to have your Damascus road.
And I'm just wondering if any of you who say, oh, I'm a follower of Christ, I'm a servant of Christ, are willing to follow him, even if he says, oh, you're not going to see the change on them, but I want you to do this for him.
No.
Can you be that servant?
No.
And the way y'all are outpouring, it's like God is, y'all are living proof of God saying, I've called many, but few are chosen, because y'all don't want to do what he
you don't want to. You're a bunch of Jonas.
He keeps telling you, I want you to go to Nineveh. I want you to go to those group of people at Planned Parenthood. And instead of ostracizing them, go talk to them. Have conversations instead of just berating them. And what's the word I want to say? Child, I can't even think of the word anymore.
Berate them, you talk down to them, you talk at them. It's like, y'all are just exhausting.
I've said it all the time. I wouldn't want to know your God. If I never knew anything about Jesus and I came, especially here to America, in Western culture, and I was to see, I wouldn't be interested. I just wouldn't.
I wouldn't either.
And it's really sad because, I'm just going to be honest, the entitlement that us as Western Christians have compared to Christians around the world, the fact that you get the choice
to share your views and your ideas, yes, and your ideologies, you aren't being persecuted. There are people in other countries who are literally dying.
Yes.
For carrying a Bible.
That have to meet in secret.
Again, let me repeat myself. For carrying
a Bible.
A Bible. They ain't opened it yet. They ain't read it yet. They ain't spewing their views. Carrying God, it being in their possession. Death or jail.
That's their options. But you so carelessly get to voice it so belligerently. And voice it manipulatively.
Yes.
And just use it to berate and belittle people. And I'm like, I'm like, Lord, sometimes I wish, I don't wish this on us, but I'm like, I wish you would send them a true encounter for real.
Yeah.
Because we just don't get it. So I've been asking God to outpour his spirit, especially up on us here in the U.S. For real revival, not that fake revival where y'all can come to the revival tent and
one is coming. Holla. It's coming.
And stuff. I said, but I have been praying, God, please bring people to their knees again. It's and coming. I'm not talking about the ones outside of the church. I'm talking about the ones inside of the church.
It's coming. It is coming. Mark my words. Set a calendar.
And like, some of you
are about to encounter a whole other Damascus road because you, God is saying, you forgot, and I need to refresh your memory.
Yes,
it's
good. Because how can you minister? You can't minister. So that's all I got. But I really do need to encourage you to get to know the Holy Spirit again.
Yes.
Stop believing with your eyes who you think a Christian is. You have no idea. There are some people who, just because we've had a conversation, I never even knew that they were a Christian.
Right.
Never even knew they were a Christian. And we just had a conversation and they said, I feel like my walk is one that is between me and God and it doesn't need to be publicized. And I was like, I just never thought you were a Christian. Notice that was my arrogance, because what does a Christian look like?
Yes.
Other than I know that you should have Christ's spirit. But I'm not around you 24/7. I don't know what you do when you're out of my eyesight. Correct.
It's more than a superficial, oh, well, they have on the long skirts.
Or they always kept their Bible. Or they talk about Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
And they just post on TikTok and Instagram about the Lord all the time. Anything?
How do they treat people?
Thank you.
When they're in hard, difficult situations, what do they do and say then?
Yes.
When no one is looking, what are they saying? What are they doing? Just because they're in church every Sunday, Wednesday, Thursday, Tuesday.
That means nothing. That means nothing. That means nothing.
That means nothing.
So you got to do better about y'all's discernment. That's the biggest thing. Okay? That's the only thing we really wanted to touch on is, hey, stop with this surface level offense. My God, read the bait of Satan. Why are you so offended?
Look, were those your final thoughts? Because
yes,
we hitting and quitting this thing because y'all are either gonna get it
or you're not.
Or you're not. So I would encourage those who really, because there are some that, how can I say this, Lord, help me. There are some that saw that ad and feel a type of way, but aren't sure what they're feeling. But are very, what's the word I want to say? They are zealous in their walk. You are probably, I'm talking directly to this person, feels this way. You are probably very much so an apologetic in your feelings and in your stance, and you don't know how to go about it.
Yeah.
So because you see these rah 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 people talking about how devilish that ad is, you will lean hard in that direction. Let me give you a better option, right?
Yep.
So I would encourage you all to follow Preston Perry's YouTube page. It's called Apologetics with Preston Perry. Now, those of you who know him as a poet, he is coming back and starting back making street apologetic videos on YouTube. They are amazing. They are long, but they're amazing. And if you pay attention to how he encounters these people and how he directs his conversations, his questions, how he's gracious in what he says, he's firm in what he says, but he's never belligerent. He's never rude. He doesn't talk down to. He doesn't overtalk. I would encourage you, again, it's Apologetics with Preston Perry. Look it up on YouTube.
Yeah.
This is a perfect example of how you should be when it comes to doing apologetics. I would definitely encourage that because there are some who have that spirit on them
and
don't know where to go or know how to properly emulate what they should do.
Yeah.
So they look to the people who are belligerent in their talk, and that's not the example you need. So I don't want to squander out that spirit that's in you, because that, again, we just said that is a Holy Spirit given thing.
Yeah,
there are some that the anointing is on you to do apologetics. Please, Apologetic with Preston Perry is amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing. So I would definitely encourage you to look him up. And that's all I got. So where can they find you, Crystal?
You can find me on Facebook and on Facebook at Crystal Charmaine. I am Crystal Charmaine. And on IG at I am Crystal Charmaine. And TikTok, I am Crystal Charmaine.
Oh, yeah.
Where can they find you, Tanisha?
Tiki Taki.
Yes.
Facebook is Tanisha Williams, and Instagram is She Is Tanisha J. You guys make sure you follow She Laughs Podcast on Facebook and Instagram. We haven't got a TikTok yet, but I'm sure we will. So either way, follow us. You guys can always send us questions, prayer requests, any conversations you want us to have. We are all ears. We are always open to any suggestions. And as always, we love you guys, and we'll talk to you soon.
Till next time. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks again for listening. We hope that you were blessed by today's discussion. To keep up with the latest on the She Laughs podcast, be sure to subscribe on most major streaming platforms. You can also follow us on Facebook and Instagram. If you feel led to donate, please send donations to paypal.me/She Laughs. And don't forget to send us your questions as well. We'd love to hear from you. As always, stay blessed.